Colossians chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. This is the reading of God's word. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world, also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also, since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time hearing your word. Grant us, all of us, an ear to hear your word, because if it is not for the work of the Spirit in us, that we might hear, but we will not hear. So, Father, we ask that your Spirit will work in us as we hear your word. Cause our faith to grow. Let us grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And through your word, let us see what your Son has done and accomplished for us, that we may rejoice and give you all the thanksgiving and glory. Receive all the glory, Father. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me remind you that what we see in verses 3 through 14 in Colossians chapter 1 is Paul's thanksgiving prayer. And in verses 3 through 8, which you are looking at, we see the contents of Paul's thanksgiving. We saw in verse 3 and 4 that Paul thanks our God for Colossian congregations, their faith in Jesus Christ, and their love for one another. Their faith and their love. And Paul says, and ultimately, this is God's word, so God says, that their faith and love are the result of their hope laid in heaven. The Christian life can be summed up in these three words that we looked at for the last few weeks. Of course, although the Christian life is much more than these three words, but faith and love and hope. Faith in Jesus Christ, the love for God and for the brothers and sisters, and the hope of heaven. So we come to verse 5 and 6 today. Their love and their faith, they are because, verse 5 says, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also, since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. See, according to verse 5, their hope of heaven is of which they have heard in the word of truth, the gospel. And according to verse 6, the gospel that they have heard is constantly bearing fruit and increasing since the day they have heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. The hope laid in heaven is the gospel, according to verse 5. The word of truth. Thus, the content of the gospel is Jesus Christ and the hope laid in heaven. And this is why we call ourselves Christ and Heaven, OPC. Because that's what the gospel is all about. what Jesus Christ has done and what he has accomplished for his people. They are the content of the gospel. The gospel, literally, it means the good news. Now the question is, for you, the hope laid in heaven, which is gospel, is it really good news for you? What is the good news for you? If I tell you, what could I tell you that you will say, oh, that's good news? For many, the good news is all about how wealthy and healthy they are going to be in this world. But here, the good news, the gospel, is the hope of heaven. The true good news is all about how you are going to be in heaven. That's the content of the gospel. What Jesus Christ has accomplished for you. And that biblical good news is the truth, it says. Truth. Unchangeable, eternal word of God. In verses 5 and 6, we are learning an important biblical principle. And that's what I'm trying to show you today. There's very important biblical principle in verses 5 and 6. It says the gospel, it came to them in words. And they have heard of it. And it says they understood it. They have heard the gospel, the word of truth. The gospel, the word of God, was taught and preached. I mean, think about it. If they heard it, then how could they hear it? Unless it is taught and preached. They have heard it and understood it, and they have believed and obeyed. Now, this is really, really important, and I'll tell you why it is so. The gospel is not about seeing and physically experiencing. Let me say that again. The gospel is not about seeing and physically experiencing. It is about hearing and understanding and believing. See, this world likes to see and touch. Physical experiences are very important to this sinful world. They say that it is better to see it once than hearing about it 8,000 times. And you could kind of tell what they mean. And when it comes to worldly things, when it comes to worldly knowledge, it is true that it's better to just see it once than hear about it 8,000 times. But when it comes to the gospel, that is not God's method. See, God chose the most primitive method that the world knows. I mean, you could go ask anybody who majored in education. You know, when you teach kids, it's better to show them. So there's visible aids. Those are very, very important. They need to see it. And it's true when it comes to worldly knowledge, that's how you learn. You learn better by seeing and actually touching than just hearing about it. But according to the Bible, God's method is hearing. the most primitive way of learning according to this world. So nowadays, you know, they try to show you. So as pastor preaches a gospel, that they put up pictures and stuff. And their intention, we have to say, is a good one. They want to help people to understand more. But they forget about God's method, how it is the Holy Spirit who works. And He works according to the Bible, works through the Word that is taught and preached. But if you just bring worldly method into the church, and you understand according to what the world says, then you are going to go against what the Bible says. We're talking about faith. We're not talking about worldly knowledge. When it comes to that, we have to agree that seeing is a much better way, of course. But spiritual things? No. Gospel is heard and believed. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says that faith comes from hearing. It doesn't say faith comes from seeing. But by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. You need to hear the word. And that's how faith comes to you. Not from seeing and physically experiencing, but by hearing. Again, this world will never understand this because it just doesn't make sense to them. And I won't be preaching this way unless I see that is what the Bible says. That's why whenever you preach the Bible, many times it's not that popular. People will not understand it. They will not get it. I mean, they sometimes even hate it because it's opposite of what they're so used to out there in the world. See, world things by seeing that they will have stronger faith. I mean, you hear from the world. They tell you, show me, then I will believe. But the problem is, there's nothing we could show at this time. We will be able to show them when Jesus comes back, when everything will be visible, yes, but not now. There's nothing we could show. We just relay what the Bible says in words. Biblical faith comes from hearing the Word of God. See, that's why I always say it is so important that you come out to Bible studies and worship to hear God's Word taught and preached. Because that is God's method. Of course, it will help you stay home and read also. As you read, you hear yourself reading the word. But see, God, you know, there are many reasons why God establishes churches, but one of the purpose is to preach to you the word, to teach the word, so that you may hear the word. So that you may grow, that your faith will grow. This is really important because today you see a lot of places, a lot of churches, that they are centered on seeing and physically experiencing. That they gear towards that rather than the Word. So they experience the Holy Spirit, but they really don't know what Holy Spirit says. God's method of sanctification is always by the Word of God. You know, Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, and there he's praying for his people, and verse 17 says, Jesus says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them in words, in God's word. Thus the faith and the hope comes from the word. Do you think that seeing with your physical eyes will make your faith stronger? Is that what you feel? And then I use that word deliberately. You know, it's all about feel today. It's all about how do you feel. But it's not about how you feel. Even if you don't agree, the truth is still truth. Truth is not truth because you agree. Truth is truth because that's what the Bible says. So many people believe this, that physically experiencing will make my faith stronger. But that is not what the Bible teaches. I mean, I could show you Old Testament times. Oh, during Old Testament times, God really showed them, didn't he? I mean, they could see God parting the sea and, you know, raining down the manna. And, I mean, all kinds of miracles in the Old Testament. So, when you read Old Testament, with all those miracles they saw and they experienced physically, did their faith grow? Do you see any incidences where result of physical experience that their faith grow? No, they did not grow in faith. They actually became worse, even after they saw all that God has done. And that's exactly what you're going to read. Read it yourself. They became worse and worse, even with seeing what God is doing. Because that is not God's method. It's not through seeing. It's by hearing. Faith comes from hearing. That's what the Bible said. I knew a person who had cancer, and this cancer, this person thought it was cured. And this person told me about that experience and say that through that experience, that person's faith grew, that person said. Actually, that person said that through that experience of cancer being cured, that person finally, truly realized how much God loved that person. And I'm trying to avoid even tell you whether it was male or female, because if I say it, then at least one of you might recognize that person. I finally now know for sure, because my experience, cancer being cured, that how much God really loves me, I know now. And you know, so many people hear it and go, oh, I wish I had that experience so that I could feel, you know, my faith will become stronger. But that is what that person feels, but it's not the truth. See, I don't have that experience. I never had cancer. I have all the other stuff I could tell you. I never had that experience, but I have the Bible, and I go to the Bible, and I see the cross. How Jesus died for me. And that, what I see in the Bible, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, this tells me how much God loves me. And there's nothing that I could experience in my life, that there's nothing that could happen in my life which will tell me how much God loves me more than what I see in the Bible. I don't need those experiences to know how much God loves me. So biblically speaking, I don't know what that person is saying. What can happen in your life that will tell you more how much God loves you than what Bible says? Why? But they always say things like that. Through that experience, my faith grew and that I now know for sure. That's just what you think. That's not what Bible says. And you know, what you think is what can we do? That's your, you know, freedom, I guess. But your thinking or your feeling must be according to the Bible also. That's not how your faith grows. It's by hearing. That's what Bible says. But you do understand why people want to see and feel and touch. Because that's just how they learn worldly things. And it's so easy to just bring that into church and use the same method, same principle. But no, you have to come to the Bible. Because truth is what the Bible says. Not even what I think or what I feel or what I experienced. Because your five senses can be fooled. And I tell you these things, right? Sometimes, you know, you feel like somebody just passed you, you know, like behind you. And you look and there's nobody. But I thought I saw something. See, your senses can deceive you. And you do not trust your senses when it comes to the truth. Because it could always deceive you. But the Word, you could trust. Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. The knowledge of this world is through the experiences. This is why the world emphasizes so much on the experiences. Just go to any job interview. What is the most important thing? Your experience, of course. Because that's worldly knowledge. But when you come to the interview for your membership of church, it's not about your experiences. Many times your experiences are the problem. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. And I hope by now you understand that the Bible is always, and I'm telling you, always, opposite of what the world says. At least it's really different from what the world says. Let me read you a few verses. Ephesians 1:13, in him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24, as for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and the Father, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, for this reason we also constantly thank God that when you receive the word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it, and not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, if indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, who was made a minister. Let's go to John chapter 20. Let's look at together John chapter 20. I'm going to read to you from verse 24, John chapter 20. This is like famous story, so you probably know this story. John 20 verse 24 says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. This is after Jesus' resurrection. Jesus came to his disciples, but Thomas was not there. So the other disciples were saying to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the door having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hands and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord, my God. Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believe. Now, let's say this Thomas, today, 2018, goes around and said, you know, I saw my Lord. I even touched him. You know how many people will follow him? And wishing that they too have seen the Lord and touched him? He will be considered a man of great faith, really spiritual Christian, because he touched Jesus. He saw him with his own eyes. But he's being scolded here by Jesus Christ. You believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who do not see it and yet still believe. But how people understand, even in the church, is that when somebody says that they actually saw and they experienced it physically, somehow this person becomes a better Christian. In actuality, it's actually the opposite. You and I, we simply, even without any experience, we simply believe what the Bible says, because this is God's word. See, unless this is God's word, then you and I, we are the most pitiful, pathetic people in the whole universe. But if this is God's word, then we must believe what he tells us. And I don't need any other people or anything telling me any whatever it might be. All I need is God telling me through His Word. I trust Him. I believe Him. I believe what He said. It's like, that's why God said, you gotta be like children to enter the kingdom of God. See, I give you this example many times, you're probably sick of it, but my kids were little. Oh, they trusted what I told them. Oh, I could just say to them and they completely trust me. And I say, okay, tomorrow we'll go here and there. They go, oh, okay, but tomorrow comes and, you know, I have all kinds of things happening, so I cannot go. And many times that happens, so, you know, they start not trusting you. But when they're little, they trust their parents, whatever parents say to them. It's like that children. You gotta be like that children when you come to God. You trust Him. And it's different. You know, it's not a good example because, you know, men, parents, you know, they're still sinners. You cannot 100% trust them. But we're talking about God. When God says something, you believe. See, world, this sinful world favors Thomas, who wants to see to believe it. He says, unless I see, unless I touch, I will not believe. That's what he said. But we're different. I don't have to see it. Do you? I don't have to touch it. God has to just say it. And he said it. And I believe. Actually, the true Christian experience, is not something that you feel with your five senses. I tell you, God says that you are resurrected from the dead. And that's your experience. You've actually been resurrected from the dead. Did you feel it? I didn't. God says you are seated at the right hand of God with Christ right now. Do you feel it? But it is your actual experience that you are spiritually sitting with Christ. God says you are blind ones. Now you see. And it was your true experience that you were blind. But now you see. It happened to you. You actually experienced this. But it's not something you could feel with your five senses. So true Christian experiences are not something that you feel. But it is something that you believe. You know, I could get into all kinds of trouble by saying things like this out there. I believe I was blind, but now I see. It happened to me. I believe it. I was dead, now I'm resurrected from the dead. It happened to me. But I believe, I didn't feel it. I didn't see it. And I don't need to see it. Because faith is not about seeing. God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, it says, walk by faith, not by sight. Meaning, sight and faith, they're opposite. So, faith is never about you seeing things. But it's about believing. And when you say you believe, what do you believe?
Word of God. That's it. That's what we believe, the Word of God. Blessed are they who did not see and yet believe. If we believe not seeing, then what are we believing? The Word of God. It says the gospel which has come to you, our passage says. Romans chapter verse 10 and 12, 10 through 12. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good, not even one. The sinners do not seek the truth. They can't seek it. They will not and they cannot. When they say they are seeking the truth, they are seeking the truth according to their sinful understanding, which is not the truth at all. So you hear even non-Christians, they tell you, I'm seeking the truth. But that truth that they're seeking is never the true truth, what the Bible says. See, brothers and sisters, the true Christians, we do not seek the truth. We possess the truth. You already have the truth. The Holy Spirit lives in you, and He's the one who wrote all of His Word, God's Word. And by hearing, we do not mean just the physical hearing. So many people physically hear the word, but only few truly hear. And these few who truly hear, they believe. So yes, it is by hearing, but it's not physical hearing. Anybody can come here and hear. That doesn't mean they're going to believe. Thus God says in the book of Revelation, He says, He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who has an ear. So that ear which can hear has to be given to you. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. An ear to hear has to be given by our God. The work of the Holy Spirit is absolutely needed for us to truly hear, so we could believe what we hear. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 and 13 through 14. For to us God revealed them, the wisdom of God, through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. Because what God says becomes foolishness to these people. Because they just cannot understand what God is saying. Because in their own intellect, in their own understanding, what the Bible says is foolishness. And we're not denying this. That's what the Bible says. I'm not trying to make, you know, what I preach to you as a something that is intellectually like way up there. I'm preaching to you the foolishness. And it is God's will. By the foolishness of what is preached through it, that he saves his people. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He actually says the foolishness of what is being preached. He actually says that. We're not asking non-Christians or the world. We're not begging them to believe. We proclaim the truth. That's what we're doing. We, the recipient of God's grace, we are the beggars. God is not begging. He simply tells the truth. And everybody, they better believe it. Without the work of the Spirit, the sinners will hear, but they will not hear. Matthew chapter 13, verse 14a, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, for indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, meaning the Old Testament people by Moses, but the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard. Can you just picture this? Moses brought Israelites out and they were journeying towards to the promised land and 40 years they were wandering around the desert. How many times do you think Moses preached to these people the gospel? And how many believed? The first generation, 600,000 men came out. 600,000 men. They all died in the desert. They never went into the promised land. Only two, Joshua and Caleb. 600,000 men died in the desert because of their unbelief. They heard it, but it didn't profit them because they did not, what? According to what this said, they did not unite by faith. And only way that could happen is through the work of the Holy Spirit who is in God's people. You must unite what you hear by faith. And the only work of the Holy Spirit enables us to do this. And brothers and sisters, you must understand that word of God is not from men. It is not according to the wisdom of this world. And Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, the grass withers and flower fades, but the word of God, word of our God, stands forever and ever. Galatians chapter 1 verse 11 and 12, for I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20 through 21, but know this first of all, that no prophecy of scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Brothers and sisters, we have God's word in this book, the Bible. Believe it, because it's the truth. Let me end with this. Amos chapter 8 verse 11 describes the future judgment of God this way. Listen, the judgment of God is described like this. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land. See, there will be famine. But it says not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but rather for hearing the words of the Lord. There will be famine. And don't you feel that famine has come today? It's God's judgment. A famine for hearing the word of the Lord. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5 and 7. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, reviler, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Famine. It seems like they're always learning, always talking, but never know the truth. But brothers and sisters, you're different. You are the blessed people of God. The Holy Spirit lives in you and He is working in you. The word of truth, the gospel has come to you and you have heard it, and by the grace of God you have believed it. This is what set us apart as Christians, because we believe. That's why we are called the believers. Believers. So we are the ones who believe what the Bible says. You have truly understood the grace of God in truth. And we should give all the glory and thanksgiving to our God. So let's come to the Bible, come to the Word. Let us study it, meditate upon it, read it. But more importantly, let us hear, preached, and taught. Because this Colossian church, they were able to live by faith in Jesus Christ, and they were able to love one another because of their hope laid in heaven. But that came from what? Hearing the word of God, and they understood and they believed. This is how they were able to live that kind of life. You have to hear the word and understand it and believe. It's not about you experienced or please don't go there. Come back to the truth. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and power. We thank you for the gospel that came to us. You caused us to hear the gospel, and you caused us to believe it. Now you are causing us to obey it. Oh, Father, let us completely trust you. Everything you have told us, everything you have said, it is the truth. And we believe it.
We thank you for your word. And thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in us, making us more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.